Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the In For A Penny podcast. My name is Mark Schoffman. I am a freelance personal finance journalist, and I'm joined, as ever, by my financial planner friend, Joshua Gerstler.
Hello, everyone. It's nice that you introduced me as your financial planner friend.
I want to make it clear our relationship is both professional and personal.
And unprofessional.
And unprofessional.
Very nice.
So Joshua works for the Orchard Practice. He talks about it all the time. They're a financial advisor firm in Hertfordshire. And you can find out more about him at www.topfs.co.uk. And also myself, if you want to find out more about me, come and ask me in the street if you see me, or go to www.cavendishcontent.com.
This is the first episode of a six-part series on mortgages. Episode 1 is about the home buying process. Episode 2 is going to be about the mortgage process. Episode 3 about deposits and loan to value. Episode 4 is all about the difference between interest only and repayment mortgages. Episode 5 will be about the types of rates, fixed rates and tracker rates. And episode 6 will be the advantages of using a mortgage advisor.
Sounds good.
It should be.
Hopefully by the end of the series, people will have a better understanding of the mortgage and property market.
Yeah.
Which is important, I think. So it's often said that an Englishman's home is his castle, but it's pretty difficult to get on the property ladder because house prices are pretty high. The mortgage deposit can be quite big to save for.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of barriers. And also a lot of people don't really understand if you want to get on the property ladder, unless you've got rich, very generous parents or a big inheritance, you're going to need a mortgage. But before you even get to the mortgage stage, you need to find the right property. So this episode, we're talking about the home buying process.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the first step?
I think nowadays, the first thing that everyone tends to do is go online onto two websites, either Rightmove or Zoopla, because they seem to have all the properties listed for sale.
Yes.
When you bought your house, which, how long have you been in your current property?
We've been in our current property for 8 years.
And how did you go about finding that?
I'm actually going to go against what you've just said, because we got ours from a neighbour of my wife's parents.
That's why I said nowadays. You're talking about 8 years ago.
8 years ago, my in-laws knew someone who lived here, and my wife had always said she wanted to live in this house if the people ever sold.
Okay.
And they happened to say they were looking to sell.
Okay.
And we got a good opportunity. But yes, as you say, most people go through the portal such as Rightmove and Zoopla. There are some others. Yeah. On the Market is an emerging one that's trying to be a rival to the other two.
So I think people go online and they search via various methods. Some people search by the area they want to be in. Some people will put that they're not fussed what area, but they know the type of amount they want to spend. Some people will put the size of the property. I think, but the good thing on these websites is you can filter it for all the different search criteria.
And some of them even will let you put in your affordability criteria, such as how much of a mortgage you can afford, and they'll sort of tell you the type of property. I think Zoopla does that.
Okay, I haven't seen that. That sounds interesting.
A lot of people in the past have flocked to London as a place to live. It's obviously where a lot of the jobs are. There's a big concentration of people, but also that's where the prices are quite high. Do you think people need to look more realistically when they're looking for their first property?
Not really. I think people just need to look for the area they want to be in, and if they can afford it, fantastic. If they can't, I think they'll pretty soon find out. I remember when Mrs. G and I were looking for our first house together, or first property together, when we got married, and originally we thought we'd quite like to live in West Hampstead, which, as you know, is sort of northwest London. And once we saw the prices there, we thought we'd go and live in Mill Hill, maybe. And once we saw the prices there, we settled on Boreham Wood.
So we're moving out and out and out of London.
Yeah, further out.
It'll be up north soon.
We may well do. Once people have found a property, then what do you see as the next step? Found a property online.
Most people will have to go through an estate agent to go and arrange a viewing. So if you're using Rightmove or Zoopla, the listing will show who the property is on with, who the estate agent is who's selling it. So you'd have to either email or phone them to arrange a viewing.
Yeah, so what's a viewing?
A viewing is when you go round and look at the house.
Yeah, I think that's that sums it up.
There's some services now where if you haven't got time to view a property, you can pay people to go and look for you, and then they give you the feedback.
Okay, that's quite an interesting service.
It's a service called Vuber.
Okay.
And
Vuber?
Vuber.
Is that a play on Uber?
I guess it is, yeah. And also some companies now, some estate agents are offering 3D kind of virtual reality.
I've seen those. They're interesting, yeah. Actually.
So if you have your own headset, they just give you an app to download, and you just go and you put the headset on and then you look from the comfort of your own home.
I think, though, until you actually go and see a property, most people, when they buy a house or a flat or whatever it may be, it's the single biggest purchase of their lives. So to rely on an app or someone else is very risky.
It is risky, but it's a good way of whistling down, because if there's a lot, like if you're a student, and you're, well, this is more for renting, I guess, but if you're looking for somewhere to rent, there may be a lot of choice. And if you could just look at, I don't know, five virtually, and then you just choose one to go, and you kind of make your shortlist from that.
Okay. So you've seen a property.
Seen a property.
You really love it.
You love it.
The estate agent's driving you mad. He's told you, or she has told you, that we've had seven offers today. You need to make an offer quick. So what's the offer process? How does that work? The
offer process is some agents, first of all, won't let you see a property unless you have a mortgage in principle, because the agent, you have to remember, is working for the seller, really, because they want to sell the property and get a decent commission. So they'll only want to introduce buyers who they know can actually finance the purchase. Yeah,
I think that's a very important point there you make for any new or first-time buyers, that the estate agent is acting for the seller. So as much as they will be nice to you, remember, they earn their money from selling the property.
So you're going to see the property, and you don't have to make an offer on the spot. Sometimes it's good to go away, have a think about it, look at what else is on the market, compare prices. And the agent, as you say, will probably phone you, hassle you to make an offer, to get some feedback. And if you're happy, yeah, it's good to make an offer. Don't necessarily go for the asking price, though, because you can...
So let's tell people, what are asking prices?
Asking prices, so that's the price that the property is listed at.
So that doesn't mean you have to pay that. It's not like in a shop where they say, this T-shirt is... $19.99, or this car is my new car, so you can negotiate as well, can't you?
Can negotiate cars.
This bar of chocolate is 50p.
Yeah.
It's just an asking price for you to discuss.
Exactly. And a lot of agents will say a property is only worth what someone will pay for it. So you can have...
That's correct.
...a street where your neighbour may sell their property for £800,000, but that doesn't necessarily mean your property is worth... same amount.
Yeah, correct. Although most people value their own properties higher than their neighbours.
That's true.
I can tell you from when I have meetings with clients, and when I say to them, what's your home worth? The first thing they say is, well, the neighbours or someone down the road sold theirs for X amount of pounds, and ours is a little bit nicer, so ours must be worth an extra 50, 100,000, whatever it may be. So you make your offer to the agent.
Make your offer to the agent. So by law, the agent must tell the seller of any offer.
I'm not convinced that always happens.
No, it should happen. But obviously, I think there are a lot of complaints about offers not getting passed on, or maybe not being pushed as well as they could be.
I find that this part of the mortgage process, I think, is very opaque.
Okay.
Not the mortgage process.
No,
sorry, yeah,
got
mortgages on the brain. This part of the house buying process, I think, is very opaque. And I'd quite like to see a lot more openness in the offer negotiating stage. I'd like to see something like some sort of like eBay style system, where not necessarily that it's all computerized and behind funny screen names like Mark Hoffman, so no one knows it's really you, but where you can go online and you can see there has been an offer made on this date by bidder number one, for example, and then you can make your offer accordingly.
Some of the online agents, like Purple Bricks, I think allow you to do that, because they will manage everything online. They don't have high street branches, or they don't always have a sort of dedicated agent. You'll have to do everything through sort of call centres.
So you're saying, as a buyer, yeah, I can go on and see that other people have made offers?
You wouldn't be able to see other offers, but you could. No, you're right. You can only submit your offer.
Because I'm got a bit sceptical in my old age or middle age, and I don't think agents always play by the rules and tell you the truth. The amount of times I've heard the agents, a client say to me, I made an offer, and the agents told me that, oh, someone this morning has made exactly the same offer, you're going to have to go higher. It can't have happened. It's too many times to happen for it to be more than a coincidence.
Is that because the agent is trying to do the best for their client and get a higher commission?
Which is great, but I find that potentially they are lying about that fact. So yes, they want to get the highest sale price for the clients, but you've got to do it honourably and honestly. So I think I'd like to see some system where you log on, you put in your bid, and then there's a chain. So you can see I've made an offer on this date, it was rejected, I've made a higher offer, or the reasons why it was rejected. So for example, you could put in there, I am a cash buyer. So if anyone's not sure, that means you're buying the property with money, you don't need to borrow. And if someone else has made the same offer and they've said, I've got a mortgage, you can see why yours might have not been accepted.
That's a good idea.
Thanks.
Trademark Josh Gerstler, or yeah. The In For A Penny podcast.
Yeah, well, we'll split the trademark between us.
It's interesting you say that, because the government has recently, well, as of the beginning of July, well, the middle of July.
2019.
Okay. Unveiled proposals about regulating estate agents.
I mean, they are regulated. I just think it's not proper
regulation.
They're going
to create qualifications and more kind of requirements on
it should be.
Transparency. So I think if the agent was at a set level, like financial advisors, they had to have minimum qualifications.
Yeah.
It would make, hopefully, them more professional.
It could. I mean, it won't get rid of the problem completely, because there are always crooked people out there, whether it be financial advisors, estate agents, journalists.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But it's great that they're starting something. And if they want us to consult on it, the government, they know where to find us.
Well,
at In For A Penny Pod 1.
On Twitter, yes. So you made your offer.
So it's been accepted.
Woohoo! Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's been accepted. Now you are in the sold subject to contract phase.
Okay, what does that mean? Because
that means,
does your offer not mean that it's done and dusted?
No.
Okay.
Because now you need to start the conveyancing process.
Right, okay.
Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. You should have asked me the question.
So once you've got your offer, obviously you've seen the property, but you haven't actually seen the property. You've sort of been in and you've seen the lounge and the rooms and everything's been presented nicely, but you haven't necessarily looked at the structure and you don't know what's going on.
You know what, actually, that reminds me. When my wife and I bought our current house, we went to see it about 5 times, which is quite unusual because most people buy their house after seeing it once or twice.
Yeah.
But the house we went to buy was in a bit of a state. It had tenants in and out for a few years, lots of animals in it. People have pets, not animal tenants.
How'd you rent to an animal?
I don't know. I'm not very visual, so I looked at this property and I couldn't see how it was right for us. But my wife is quite creative like that and quite visual, so she had to take me back a couple of times to say, this is how it will work, this is what it's going to look like.
How many times did your wife have to see you before she decided?
I think it's probably love at first sight.
And
I told you, she's a creative, so I need to be taken back to see her again and again.
Okay.
She doesn't listen to this podcast anymore, I'm told.
You tell?
No, well, because my mum was at my house earlier, and she said, "Oh, Mrs. G, you've been mentioned in the podcast a couple of times." She goes, "Oh, I haven't heard it for a while." So we'll see if she ever mentions this.
Okay. So, yeah, you need...
Conveyancing.
So
that is basically the legal process for buying a property, isn't it?
That's the legal process, but it's not actually... You also need a survey. Should it be a survey first?
We don't actually... if you're buying it without a mortgage,
there
is no legal requirement to have a survey.
Oh, really?
But sensibly, you should.
You should have a survey, because a survey actually is a bit where that will show you what the property is like. So you can, there's a couple of different types of survey.
Three types.
You're going to tell me.
You want me to tell you?
Because otherwise I'm going to have to Google
it. There's two main types of survey, but there's three types of things you can do. There's a valuation.
Yeah. So that's basically what your mortgage lender wants to see, isn't it?
Correct. Usually just for a mortgage lender. There is a home buyer's report.
Okay.
Which is a in-depth report on the property. And there is a full building survey where they go into a lot more detail and get more structure, look at more of the structure of the property.
Which one of those do you think you should do?
If you are buying a house, then 9 times out of 10, I would say a full building survey. But when you're spending hundreds of thousands of pounds on a home, I think it's worth spending a few hundred pounds extra just to get the full comfort of a survey. If you're buying a flat, normally a home buyer's report is sufficient. And the valuation, I probably wouldn't ever just go for a valuation. Normally just if you are remortgaging, but we're going to talk about mortgages in another episode, aren't we?
We will. So you'll get your survey, and at the same time, a conveyancing process, similar to the survey that will look at the structure of the building. The conveyancing will look at kind of the legal issues that may surround your purchase. So if you're on land that shares right of way with a neighbour, so you could have people who are allowed to walk across the back of your garden, if it's sort of a shared garden or backs onto a park or something. So there's things you want to be aware of, or like if the back of your land is owned by the railway company, so you may not be allowed to extend onto it. that sort of thing.
Okay, very good.
So you get that in, and then...
go on.
So you get your conveyancing in and your surveys sometimes... Cheers! Sometimes...
I'll interrupt you there, because I don't know if that noise came through on the microphones, but you have provided a lovely whiskey this evening.
Yeah, I thought if we drink whiskey and talk about the property buying process.
Yeah, what are we drinking tonight?
This is Achentoschen.
I'm sorry, I wish you better.
Achentoschen is a single malt Scotch whiskey that is triple distilled. Some say it's natured in the finest Bourbon cases. I think that's just nurtured.
Sorry, no, if you read the bottle carefully, it actually says matured. I mean, people know that I make fun of your grammar-ready presenteeism, but yes, that says matured. If you are listening to this, please drink responsibly.
Yeah, that's only one whiskey. That's amazing.
Conveyancing. So the solicitor is basically doing all the legal work, aren't they? That's the conveyancing, making sure that your purchase is contractually sound.
Yeah. So they may come back, and your survey may come back with potential issues that could cost money, and that may help you negotiate a lower offer price.
Yeah.
So you'd go back to the seller and say, "Oi, there might be an issue with this property."
I mean, I'd probably try a different approach.
Do it, well, it depends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oi, how would you do it? So I'll be the seller. Hold on. Do you want to do it on the phone or not?
Yeah.
Or
hello, Mr. Seller.
You didn't even phone me. Ring, ring.
Hello, Mr. Seller.
I haven't even answered the phone. Hello?
I'm fed up. I've tried you twice. Hello, Mr. Seller.
Oh, who's that?
What's the accent?
I don't know. I can't do accents. I'll just do mine.
It's Mr. Buyer.
Hi, Mr. Buyer.
I've just had my survey back, and apparently the roof on your house is falling down.
Nonsense.
Well, I'll show you here. I've had an independent...
I can't see. This is a phone call.
I'll send you an email. I've had an independent chartered surveyor show me that the roof is falling down. I'd still very much love to buy your property, but they've told me it's going to cost £20,000 to repair the roof.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't panic, Mr. Seller, okay? I don't expect you to cover the full £20,000 bill. I've got an idea. Why don't you pay £15,000 worth of it? Or better still, why don't you reduce the buying price by, or the sale price by £15,000?
I'll come back to you, son.
Thank you very much, okay. Mr. Seller.
That's an interesting call, and also interesting that you're buying a property and you're called Mr. Buyer, and he's called Mr. Seller.
Yeah, I mean, that is the point of roleplay. We made that up. That's not actually... How much of this Achentoschen have you had?
So the buyer would negotiate, but often you can do it through
the
agent.
Yeah, you do it through the agent. So it all gets agreed.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
This is the price.
Yeah.
Then the solicitors will then give... a contract to you, weren't they?
Yes.
So both solicitors will get given a contract.
Yeah.
And they will, when everyone's happy, you'll sign the contract and then you'll exchange contracts. So people might have heard the term exchange.
Yeah.
That means at that point you are legally bound to buy the property and to sell the property. Okay. Just a point for any new listeners out there. When you do exchange contracts, it's important to put your building's insurance in place, because if for whatever reason something happens to the property between exchange and completion, you still have to buy it. So make sure your building's insurance is in place for exchange.
There's one issue that sometimes happens before exchange.
Yeah.
Especially I think if you have unscrupulous agents.
Yeah.
Is gazumping.
Yes.
Sometimes you can be going through this process, and then if the agent has left the property on one of these portals like Rightmove or Zoopla,
which they're not supposed to do, are they? Once an offer's been accepted,
you should ask them to take them off once you've had an offer and once you've accepted an offer as a seller. But often, if it's left on, a buyer will phone up the agent, say, "Oh, I'm really interested in that," and then they could come back with a higher offer than what you're currently negotiating, and that could mean Mr. Buyer's sale suddenly collapses.
Also, even if there's not another offer in, sometimes just before exchange, as you said, the buyers might call up and say, "We've decided we're going to offer you less money. We were going to pay you £500,000. We've decided we're only going to pay you £470,000. You're left with a decision at that point. That's sort of the 11th hour. Do you accept their lower offer, or do you say no and find another buyer?
Now, in Scotland, they have a different system.
Yeah.
So for all our Scottish listeners, they'll know.
Och, I don't know.
That I think once you've made an offer, technically I think the offer is legally binding.
Correct. I don't know the exact legalities of it, but my understanding is the same as yours, that an offer is legally binding. So let's assume the exchange goes well. I mentioned something called completion. So what's that?
So you'll have an exchange and then at exchange, usually you'll set a completion date for when the money will be transferred and the property will legally be transferred into your name. So that's where the conveyancer earns some of their money as well, because they've got to finish off all that legal transfer.
Yeah. And you'll get your, once you complete, you get given the keys, don't you?
Yeah, you get given the keys and any sort of
Woohoo!
Land registry documents. Yeah, and then you own.
Happy days. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Please invite us to your housewarming party.
I think that pretty much covers the house buying process at a high level.
Yeah.
Hopefully our listeners have found that useful and interesting. And on next episode, we'll be talking about the mortgage process.
If you do have any feedback on this episode, any questions, please do feel free to contact me at Mark, M-A-R-C, at cavendishcontent.com, or leave any comments on iTunes or via Twitter at InForAPennyPod1.
What's your Twitter if they want to get
I'm
to you directly?
I'm at Mark Schoffman.
Hi, at Mark Schoffman. I'm at Josh Gerstler.
And also, you can leave comments on Podbean. And
I don't mind. If anyone's got any questions, I don't mind if they want to email. Do you give out your email address?
I just did just before, yeah.
I thought you did, yeah. Mark with a C.
Yeah.
So I'm joshua@topfs.co.uk if anyone wants to send in any questions, and we can try and cover those either via email or on the show.
But for now, that is the home buying process. And that, thank you for being
in for a penny.